Okay. So now we're going to see now, does the Murex match up with these 22 simanim that Chazal talk about? So number one, that it's found in the Mediterranean. Yes, the Murex is found in the Mediterranean. That's where it lives. It lives in the Mediterranean. Does it give blue dye? Yes, it gives blue dye. It's actually the only species, like I mentioned before, there are only 25 species of animals that give dye b'chlal. Cuttlefish is not included because we never found that any dyeing of the cuttlefish being done. Cuttlefish is an ink. They use it for ink. They didn't use it to dye. As far as from my research, I haven't found anybody who used cuttlefish ink to dye any sort of garments. So there are 15 Murex snails. There are 10 insects, again like I mentioned before, that give red. From the Murex snails, they all give red, except red or purple. They give a purple red, not a red red. They give like a purple red, except for because of their high level of dibromo indigo. Whereas the Murex truncus is the only one that contains indigo, which is blue, and also monobromo indigo, which is violet, with together with indigo. Right. So that is the second simon. The third simon, that it has an overlap of indigo. Well, what do you know? The Murex trunculus has an indigo itself. That the blue of the Murex trunculus, when you have the blue of the Murex trunculus in its indigo form, when you debrominate it, when the bromine goes out, or if you find a chilaz in different parts of the world, that there's very, very limited amounts of bromine inside of it, and it's mostly, primarily indigotin. So therefore, the coloring itself is exactly indigo. The molecular structure is exactly the same thing as indigo. It's the same carbon 16, hydrogen 10, nitrogen 2, oxygen 2. It's exactly the same chemical structure as indigo. So you couldn't get more similar to indigo. So yes, you could take two pieces of dyed, one dyed with indigo, one dyed with chelas, and it will be physically impossible to tell them apart. Literally physically impossible to tell them apart. So that's in terms of the third simon. The fourth simon is that it gives multiple colors. And yes, the Murex trunculus gives multiple colors. Again, depending on its exposure to sunlight, it could give from a deep violet to even close to black, all the way to blue, and it could even give a greenish, and it could even give gray, but I don't think that's a good color to take out of it, so I don't think that was what the Chazal were talking about. But I think Aristotle quoted like 18 different shades of colors, different use of colors that you could get out of the Murex. So yes, the Murex is something which can get many colors out of it. And that's very unique, like we said before. All other animals, even indigo, as from what I searched, there's only one color to indigo. Indigo is indigo. If they wanted to get green from it, they used to mix yellow dye with it. If they wanted to get purple to imitate the Murex, the purple from the Murex, they would take madder, which is red, and they mixed the madder, double dye it. They would dye it in indigo one, and they would dye it in madder, which is a red dye, next to get a purple. Again, indigo was straight blue. Didn't change. It was just by the Murex, since they have bromine inside, so transits goes, adds the red to it, so it goes from purple all the way to blue. And there are different shades of indigo, meaning it can be very, very light to very, very dark. It's just the depth of the color, how much dye is saturated, but not in terms of different colors. The fifth simon is steadfast, that is strong, a strong dye, and yes, the Murex is particularly known for its steadfast, and then we have the source in Pliny, we have over here, like you can read inside, the Pliny writes over there, that the plant dyes were weaker, so therefore that they wash out. So the Murex, they liked the Murex particularly because it was very strong and it kept its color, kept its shine for a very long time. So that simon works out beautifully with the Murex. The next simon that we have is then history that was used for royalty. And yes, all over we find in history, we find that Chelas was used for royalty. So that was something of the kings, a color for the kings. The next, we didn't quote as a simon, but I want to add it in, that the Sefer HaChinuch, which says that it's a dye, that Tchelas is a dye which does not work well on linen. That's why the Torah said to dye Tzemer with it, that Tchelas needs to be Tzemer dyed with Dam Chilazin. So my friend Rusel Barkin, he did the test. He tested linen with the damchi lozen, and Itake showed that it's very, very faded. It has a very pale color. It does not look good at all. Deborah Silo tested it on, she's an archaeologist who did research the chilazin with the murexes. And she tried it on cotton. She couldn't get her hands on linen. She couldn't get her hands on flax. So she tried it on cotton, because cotton is similar, it's also a plant fiber. And she saw it did not work on cotton. So she assumed that it doesn't work on linen as well, which Taka doesn't. And we saw that Professor Cardin, in the book, she writes how the murex dye, the direct dyes, the murex dyes and the direct dyes don't dye well on linen and plant fibers. Mordants could, but not these. Okay, the next one, that chilaz, that tcheles was an expensive dye, was a dye which was extremely expensive. Choysim shal zahav, the Rambam says tachlis hayoyker. So we find in Pliny again, it was the next. Is the most expensive dye known to mankind. We quote in the source, Pliny says, the Tyrian, I don't know how to even pronounce that word, but which could not be bought for even 1,000 dinari per pound. Even 1,000 dinar for a pound of this dye could not be bought. Purple for dye, fetched its weight in silver at Colophon. So we see, but it's all over, it's not all over the history that this was an extremely, extremely expensive dye. The next simon is that it's something that requires tima. So we said that the only things that require tima are vat dyes, or if it has a unique characteristic, like let's say the kermes has a unique characteristic, that also is something which would could possibly do a tima. Again, we said that the kermes doesn't require tima, but it would make it better to do a tima. But something that would require, that we find specifically that would require a tima, as far as I've seen, it's only the vat dyes, and it's not even indigo, because there's less of a reason by indigo. I looked up in Professor Cardin's book under indigo to see if they ever any reason to do a tima by indigo, and I didn't see anything there. Probably because the only reason, because we know what color indigo is. Indigo is only one color. So if you want to get a specific color, we know what color you're getting. And for the pH, to make sure that it's not going to burn the wool, so that we know, because she's telling you to do it with a pH tester. So you don't need to test it for that, because you can just use the pH tester and you'll know what the pH is. And to do it for to find out if it's reduced well enough, so we already know how long it takes. We're using chemicals which reduce to a specific quantity. We know exactly how long these chemicals take, so maybe we know when it's reduced enough. We know how long it takes. So by indigo, there's no real reason to do it. Back then, there would have been a reason for the pH and the reduction, probably. But again, it's only vat dye, and the only two vat dyes in the world that we know of are two, the indigo and the murex. Those are the only two. So the next thing that we had was that it was hunted, it was captured by Chayfletzor, and what do you know? We have a hole in one. Bidyuk ben Chayfletzor, we found millions of murexes shells there from the old time, cracked exactly in the spot to take out the dye out of the murex, to use it for dyeing. You couldn't get better than that. Millions of murexes, it takes a lot. This is a major production of murex, exactly in the spot where Chazal say that's where they hunted them. It was found by Iye Elisha, which either means Cyprus, or the islands of Cyprus, or Rome. And we found in both of those places, Bidyuk, in both of those places, we found murex remains showing that they died with the murex nails. Next, simon number 11, that was something which was a miuchad for tzur. So again, the history books all say that Tzur was a producer of murex dyes. That's why it's called Tyrian purple, Tyrian blue. It's named after Tzur, a Tyre, which made it. You see, Pliny writes, in Asia, the best purple is that of Tyre. And he also writes, we next come to the city of Tyre. The present day, all are famous, confined to the production of the murex and the purple. And we found that on the coins, that all the coins minted in that time period of Tzur had the murex snails on the coins to show that was their claim to fame. The next siman is the mirei, the chila. The next siman that the chilazon is a species which buries itself in the sand. The murex is a snail which buries itself in the sand. It's partially buried, sometimes totally buried. I have a friend who has a fish tank with a murex inside, and every so often the murex totally goes under, it disappears from the tank, he doesn't know where it is, and they found out, well, you know, it's under the sand. It's a species which buries itself in the sand. Exactly what Chazal say. Siman number 13. It's a species which has a shell. The murex is a snail. Snails have shells. The next siman number 14, the siman of that it's a species, the chilazon is a species that you have to trap. You have to be tugged. The murex is something that you have to be tugged. The way they did it is that they would take the meshes or wicker baskets and they would bait them, put bait inside, and they would lower it down inside the water. When the murexes would climb into the basket, these creatures would bite them, and they would be stuck to them, and they couldn't move. And then and that's how they would pull them up, and they would catch them out and pull them up. It was something that you couldn't get to. It was deep in the ocean. They didn't have scuba diving back then. It wasn't like, you know, nowadays you go scuba diving, you know, even if it was 5 meters deep, 3 meters deep, and so we're talking about 15 feet deep. We're talking about the ocean. You know, to go diving 15 feet into the ocean is not a very safe thing to do. So we see also by Pliny writes how going to the ocean to get the reason why people didn't go into the ocean to trap these chazanis, that's why it was expensive, was because the reason why it was expensive because it was dangerous to go out with, to go into the ocean in general was dangerous, to go out and trap chazanis, that was a dangerous career. So it wasn't, you know, maybe diving for sure would be dangerous, but the way they speak about in history how they died was through nets, through trapping them. They weren't able to be gotten otherwise. Next, siman number 15, that it was something that you needed to be dush to get out the dye. Whereas the murex is something that you need to crack open the shell, you smash open the shell and bid you undo the shell to get to the dye vein. That's how you get out the dye. So you need to be putzea the chilazin in order to take out the dye. That's according to Rambam and Rambam. And according to Rashi, also you need to get the dye is in a vein. Now, technically, you could do it by ripping out the vein and cutting it open. So, I mean, would that be called dush or not? I don't know. Ripping out the vein would be called dush or not. So taking something out from an inside, if you take out peas out of a pod, it's also called dush. Would this also be called dush? Serfin. But you could also cut the vein open and squeeze them out of the vein as well. But again, as long as one of the simanim, as long as we have the chazal fitting, so you can go with Rambam and Rambam. If you want to go with Rashi, you can go with Rashi and learning this way. Either one works. Siman number 16, that it's something that there's no shechita on. So yes, there's no shechita on the Tzias Hashama. You're not over any shechita killing anything by taking blood out of this chilazin, because like Taisus, the chilazin has a separate dye sac. It's separate dye sac, so it's not its life blood. So therefore, there's no problem of shechita. And it happens to be also as gufay atom, because it's a snail, it doesn't have ivarim, and it's gufay atom. So it fits with both Taisus and the Ramban. And why the Ramban didn't say like Taisus? Pashtus, because he knew that it was a snail. He just didn't have the snail, he never examined the snail in his hands. So some people get nervous, say, when the Ramban maybe didn't, you're telling me that the Ramban didn't know everything about the mirror? I want to ask everybody, like, first of all, one of them was wrong, right? Either Taisus or the Ramban was wrong. And the second point is, like, do you think that it's a pagam in the cover of the Ramban to go ahead and say that he didn't see the snail, so he didn't know what it was like? So again, one of them was mistaken. So now, all the likelihood is it could be that the Ramban knew that it was a snail. It was only a few generations before, but he never studied the anatomy of the snail to know that it had a separate dissect. So you assume that Taisus was an akimta. Or at least you want to explain it, that you didn't need to come onto the Kimta of Taisus and have a separate dissect. So the next siman that we have is number 17, that when you break open the chilazin, to take out the dye, it dies on when you're paitseh it, and that's true. And the way to get out the dam is to break it open, and then when you break it open, it dies. And it needs to die, because the dye of the chilazin, the dye of chilazin, the dye from the chilazin, only is created once the animal dies. When the animal's alive, it's two separate chemicals, two different, it changes, like we said before. Once it dies, that's when the shidduch happens and the dye is made. So it needs to die in order to make the dye, and make the dye happen. So you see by the mirex, the mind is that when you're peitea the chilazin, in order to get out the dye, that will cause the animal to die. At the same time, so that we see that's when it works out with the Gemara. The next sentence, that however, even though the animal dies, we're trying to get it out trying to get the dye out as fast as we can, as close to the animal, we're trying to keep it as alive as we can, but as it's dying, the animal is dying. At the same time, we're trying to get out the dye as fast as we can, because we know the longer it takes after the animal is dead, then the dye will deteriorate. And that's exactly what happens by the chilazin. You know, let's look at Aristotle, and what Aristotle writes about it. Fishermen are anxious always to break the animal in pieces while it is yet alive. For if it dies before the process is completed, it vomits out the bloom. The bloom is the dye. The dye will spit out and leak all over the snail, and it's going to lose its quality. So then we have the next simin, simin 19, that it was a min which was praised, which was mishubach by the Umat HaOlam, which is something that we find specifically by the chilazin more than any other creature. We find that the Umat HaOlam were mamish mishabeachet. Pliny writes about how people used to call it an insanity, that people were going after it. It was called purpure insania, which was the madness of the purple, that people were mamish after this creature for the dye. Diocletian even made a ceremony called Adoratio Purpure. I think I'm pronouncing it right. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it was a festival for this purpure snail, the dye of the purple, and that matches with the simon number 19. Simon number 20, that the murex matches with that's Gufoy Deim Eliyam, and if you'll notice, that it matches with all three Pshatim and Gufa Deim Liyam. It matches with the waves, it matches with the Daimet to the color of the Yam, and it matches to the bottom of the ocean of the Yam. The murex is a species of snail which lives, again, like we said, on the bottom of the ocean. It gets covered over, when the bottom of the ocean gets covered over in algae, which is green, and this green algae becomes part of the body of the murex. It sticks to the body. Mamish, and Rav Arkin tried to take it out and brush it off with an iron comb. It doesn't come off. The mamish does not come off. I'll show you what a murex shell looks like. Murex shell. See this, like a whitish, like a yellow color? This is a murex shell. This is not a murex. See, there's no murex inside. The murex creature, snail, dies after 2 hours of being out of the water. So as long as the murex is alive, it will always have on it that green algae covering it. The algae comes off like 2 weeks after it comes out of the water and sits in the sun. The sun kills all the bacteria of the algae and it turns this color. Right? So murex shells are yellowish white. Murex snails are green. Now, people have this question that, what do you mean? But it's the algae on it. I'm saying, so the first one, if you paint a house green, would it be wood color or green? It would be green. But I thought of a much more dogma, which is kind of like that. Does anybody know what color the Statue of Liberty is?
A what?
The Statue of Liberty. Green. I mean, anybody in the world would tell you anything other than green. But as you said, but copper, when it was mixed, basically the copper got mixed with the sea spray, with chemicals from pollution. I forgot the name of the chemicals which interacted with, which came onto it. those chemicals that came out from the pollution from New York City, along with oxygen, all that created a coating, a green coating on the copper. If you were to shave off that green coating, you'll get the original brown copper Statue of Liberty. I can actually have a picture of it right here. This is the Statue of Liberty. Right? It's a monument around, how many stories is it? Very tall. Now, this is how the Statue of Liberty looked when, before it got all that stuff on top of it and became green. So the same way any human being would say, wouldn't say, no, what are you saying? The Statue of Liberty isn't green, it's brown. It's just coated in these chemicals and these interactions that it, and C-spray, which made it green. But really the Statue of Liberty is brown. Nobody would say such a thing. But yet, however, we find by the Mirax Chakras, which the Mirax is green, right? Same thing as the Statue of Liberty. But there, people are saying, no, it's not green, it's white, it's yellow. So again, so the Murex matches up with these three things. So again, we spoke about how it matches up with the fact that its color is the color of the yam. Again, we said the yam ranges anywhere from blue to green. If you go into the deep ocean, then it's blue. If you get closer to the shore, then it's green. Green, aqua green. So the Murex has the color of green. Also, I can show you a picture. I said I wanted to get a real Murex trunculus here, but I wasn't able to do it. So I'll have to suffice with a picture. See, that's a picture of the Murex. Check this.
When it's alive.
That's when it's alive, yeah. Straight out of the jar. That's the Murex. As you see, it's exactly Daima Liyam, the floor of the ocean. It blends in. It's called a rock. It's called the, that's because it looks like a rock, just like the bottom of the ocean. It's hard to tell the difference between the Murex and the rocks around it. So you see that it's Daima Liyam, also in the fact that it's Daima to the Kaka Yam. See, could you tell the difference between what's a rock and what's a mirror? There it is. Here's on the Murex is on a rock. The little Murex is on a rock. And this is the Murex nail. So it's Doima Yam, it's Doima to the Karka Yam Mamish. It's Doima Yam, Doima to the color of the Yam that it's green. And it's doing it to the yam, even in its waves. And if you'll take a look at the shell, the Murex has waves on it, the Galaya Yam. See? Like the waves coming up, passing the yam. So amazingly, the Murex fits with all three explanations of Daima Liyam. So next, B'yosei Daima Ledag. Now for that, I'm going to give you a press jumping. Basically, I told you about the pictures of the different shells. I took every single picture of the shell that I could possibly hear about that. And you'll see all the different types of shells. So we can see them. All different shapes. And you see at the end, the last two pages are pictures of the Murex. You'll see, the last two pages, if you look, it looks mamish like a fish. It has mamish the mus of the form of the shell. Like we said, we're talking about the mus yuknoi daima ledag is going that the shell is the form of a fish. That's where Machriach based on Chazal. And this shell looks like a fish. It doesn't need, I really need to say, you know, oh, you're stretching your imagination. There's no stretch of an imagination. If you look at the Murex shell, you look at it, you know, in the context of shell, and you look at the Murex shell instantaneously, you'll see that it looks like a fish. I took my Murex shell, I got one got a hold of one from Kessel Tagrovitz. It was a random one. He had a bucket of Murex shells. I picked the first one out that I found that was shut, that was whole, and I brought it home and I showed it to my kids. I held it up and asked my kids, what does this look like? What is this the form of? And they all told me that it looks like a fish. Like, let me see if I can see two, Mike. And again, where's the other Murex that we had? For. Okay, yeah. Also, the tail. I found that a lot of the tail, the first thing that chips off from the Murex is the tails. So it's a little bit chipped on the tail, but still see a mamish, looks like a fish. The head. Now, Oila Achas Mishim Shana. So now we said, listen, we don't need to go, you know, we didn't count it as a simon in the percentages because we could say, listen, we don't find anything that's being Oila Achas Mishim Shana. But we said, maybe we can find something which naturally comes up once in a lifetime, once in a very blue moon. And it's fascinating that the one creature that we've ever seen such a phenomenon happen. Let's read this article. Basically, what happened was in Florida in 2008, there was a... All of a sudden, one day, people woke up in the morning, and all of a sudden, the beach was flooded with thousands and thousands and thousands of snails, sea snails, also starfish, and creatures that live on the bottom of the ocean. And they wonder, like, where are all these snails coming from? What happened with these snails? It's like, all of a sudden, like, one day they wake up, and you see thousands of snails along the beaches. So, what it seems like what happened was, basically, there was an underwater cold front, which swept the bottom of the ocean, and it shocked all the creatures, all the snails which hold on to the bottom of the ocean. They lost their grip. And then came an underwater wind and swept them all up ashore. And we found out that this occurrence is not just occurrence that just happened there. It's an occurrence that hardly ever happens. Like, it's once in a really, really blue moon. But it happens all over the world, once in blue moons. But it's a natural event. It's a natural event which happens in a lot of places around. But tell me, which definitely could happen that day. So we have a case of an animal which could naturally, under natural circumstances, be Oila Achas. Achas, Lashim Shana, mean once in a blue moon, once in a lifetime. And in a natural way. Now, I wanted to tell you that after you can say, nothing supernatural, but this natural event happened maybe even once in 70 years, Bidyuk, according to Hashgacha. And Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mashkiach when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael and was keeping Chavos. And Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted them to have the Chazanis wash ashore, and when they would wash ashore, they would have to quickly get it and put it in water for Shabbos because it would die after a few hours there in the sun. So they could quickly get it and gather and use it for Chavos. But it was Al Pi HaShgacha. Fine. And so that's for that siman. So we mamish found that the chilazin is that the all 22 simanim of the chilazin of chilas match up bidyuk with the Murex tranquilus, like exactly. So why in the world would we say there's another one? I have no idea. Why would we say this is this one? But you see that we found. If we're going to go ahead and say that there's another one, this was a fluke. You're basically saying that this was a 1 in 1 to the 20th power. The chance of something like this happening. Avada, there's no suffix in anyone's mind that this is the Murex which is for Chavos. And I just want to go very quickly, take the cuttlefish and take two species and see how many of the simanim fit with these two species, like we said. Take a random, basically we're taking a random creature and seeing how it fits with the simanim. Right? So the cuttlefish, let's go quickly. The cuttlefish, does it live in the Mediterranean? Yes, it lives in the Mediterranean. So one simon ahead. Does it give a blue dye? No, it doesn't give a blue dye. Is it diagonal indigo? No, it's not diagonal indigo. Does it give multiple colors? No, it doesn't give multiple colors. Was it a steadfast dye? No, actually, it totally was not a steadfast dye at all. Very washable dye. It wasn't even a dye. Again, it was an ink. Nobody used it as a dye. Was it used for royalty? No, it was not used for royalty. Was it expensive? No, it wasn't expensive. Do you need Tima to go dye with it? No, you don't need Tima to go dye with it. Was it found in Haifa Latour? No, it wasn't found in Haifa Latour. Was it found in Italy or Cyprus? No, it wasn't found in we didn't find other remains of Cyrus, but there's nothing really to find. So
we didn't find anything?
No, we don't find remains of it having been processed over there. So now we haven't found any remains, but then again, it doesn't have anything to leave behind, so we can't actually have a kaddish on it. Do we find any reasoning to say that Tsur, a tire, died with it? No, we have no reason to say that tire died with it. Does it bury itself in the sand? No, it's a squid. It doesn't bury itself in the sand. Does it have a shell? No, it doesn't have a shell. Do you need to be tzadit? Yes, you need to be tzadit. It does apply for it. It just has like almost everything in the ocean. Does it have do you need to be peitzeya to get out the dam? I don't know. I never researched how you get out the dam on the crawfish. Maybe you do have to squeeze it out to get out the black ink. I don't know. Definitely not the Rambam and Rambam's psia of Kipitei Gais in that Hashem. Does it have a separate die sack? Yes, it does have a separate die sack. Does it die on breaking it? I didn't think it dies on breaking it because it releases the ink even when it's alive, so I don't see why it would need to die if you take out. It would have to be met to take out the die. Does the die. Do you need it to stay alive to take out the die also? Again, I don't know why you would need it to stay alive. But then again, I didn't research it. Do we find any particular shvachim to the cuttlefish? No, we don't find anything particular shvachim to the cuttlefish. Does it have the shape of a fish? Is it the most yuknei to dag? No, it's not the most yuknei to dag. Does it come up? No, there's no way for a cuttlefish to get out onto dry land. The next one, I just want to go quickly run through one more species, which one of the anti-tchelis can trace him. I'm not sure if it was like chatzel, but they wanted to like bring out like something that he feels which would stem more with the simanim of what Chazal say about the chilazin. He felt that this species would fit more than the mere trunculus with what Chazal say in the simanim of chilazin. So we're going to say, and this was actually, this creature was actually brought up in another shir, an anti-tchelis shir, also. So I see this has got limelight, so we're going to go take this creature and see if it does fit better with the simanim than the tchelis. If you look, look at your picture, you know, it's called a Glaucus atlanticus.
Which one?
It's in the Maramachimus one for the third shir. It's called the Glaucus atlanticus. This is a sea slug that basically lives in the Atlantic Ocean. That floats. The way it moves around, it floats on the top of the ocean, and it's very small. So now we're going to speak about this one. Let's go see quickly run through the 22 simanim and see how many of the 22 simanim the Glaucus atlanticus has. Number one, is it found in the Mediterranean? It is not found in the Mediterranean. Now, does it give a blue dye? It doesn't give any dye. Does it give a dye to indigo? It doesn't give a dye to cloud. Does it have a dye that has multiple colors? It's not. It doesn't give a dye. Is it steadfast? The dye? It doesn't give a dye. Was it used for royalty? It doesn't give a dye. Was it expensive in the times of... Was it an expensive dye? It wasn't a dye. It doesn't give a dye. Do you need to iman its dye? It's not a dye. Do we find any remnants of it in Chai for the Torah that they actually used as dye? It wasn't a dye, so of course they didn't. Was it found to be used by Italy and Cyprus? It wasn't a dye. Do we find any connection of dyeing with it from Tsur? It's not a dye. Does it bury itself in the sand? No, it doesn't bury itself in the sand. It floats in the top of the ocean. Does it have a shell? It does not have a shell. Is it Shaykh Tzed on it? There's no tzed on it because it doesn't move. It floats when it's in the water. It just floats on the top. You would just row your boat over it and pick it up out of the water. That's the only way to get it. You wouldn't need to go do any major kunsim. It doesn't move on the water. It just floats. Does it have a dye? Is it mifkar pakid? Would you be chayav on taking its dam out? So according to Taisism, is the dam mifkar pakid? There's no dye. So then I talk about dam mifkar pakid. And is it gufi atom? No, it's not gufi atom because as you see, it has arms and legs. So it has a varim. So it's not gufi atom. So do you need to crack open anything to get to the dye? Do you need to say it to get out the dye? Are you having disha? There's no dye. Does it dye when you break open to get the dye? There's no dye. So I don't know how you would measure that. Does the dye run when you break it open? There's no dye. Do we find that people were running after this thing that was Meshuvah? We never found it ever in all of history ever such a thing. So I don't know. Maybe if they would have seen such a creature, maybe it would have been Meshabech for some reason or other. But as far as we know, there was never Meshabech anywhere. Is it Daim Aliyam? Oh, so the way it works is, if you look at it from the top half of the body is blue, the bottom half of the body is gray. So when you look at it from the top, it's similar to the yam. When you look at it from the bottom, it's similar to the sky, to the clearness of the water. Basically, it's a camouflage itself in the water. So if you want to go, so you could say that it's Daim Aliyam when you look at it from the top. It's Daim Aliyam. Is it Briyasa Daim Aliyam? Does it have a shape of a fish? Does it have a Dmustyukin of a fish? No, it does not. As you can see, it doesn't have a Dmustyukin of a fish. Is it Ayla Akas et Mishivim Shana? Do we ever find this thing coming out of the water in mass every once in a blue moon? No, this thing crawls up on the shores. Well, then when he floats to the shores, he'll crawl up on the shore and go back. But not once in a blue moon. It's, you know, all the time when he gets to the shores. So it's not Ayla Akas Mishivim Shana. So, because that might have from all the 23 Simanim, it matches with one of them, possibly. So, when we have the Murex trunculus on one side, which matches perfectly with 22, and the Glaucus Atlanticus, which matches up with one, I think we all be shaito. I think we know which way the scales are going to tip. So, again, so I think that this is the first and most conclusive proof that the Murex trunculus is indeed the correct source of Tcheles. Bemez Hashem, we're going to go next time to the other proofs.